Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to
What's Brewing CISFA?
What's Brewing CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community Colleges Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president. My co-host, Dana Yarbrough, is mired in home improvements today and won't be able to join us, but the show must go on. So let's start the show. And welcome everyone to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start our show with our first cup. Hopefully you pour yourself something delicious this morning. If you're drinking coffee, something hot, whether you just take it as it is or you add stuff to it, hopefully you have something to get us through this show. Now I will say, with my co-host Dana out today, it may be a shorter than normal show. Just like earlier this week, due to scheduling, this is our spring break. You know, we're doing different things at different times, so trying to match up schedules hasn't really quite worked out too well. But we do have a number of topics to go through today. I want to talk about the upcoming year for the association, for CISFA. Talk about training that's available for financial aid professionals, education, which is different, for financial aid professionals, and then maybe some other topics like the news and baseball and things changing relatively rapidly out there in the real world. But first and foremost, as my presidency here ends in the middle of summer and then we start our 2021-2022 cycle for the association, I'll become past president. Anna Faye Robinson of Pierce College will become the CISFA president. And David Shook, financial aid director from Copper Mountain College, will become our president-elect. So looking forward, just to give you an idea of what's going on in the association and how you might get involved, we, of course, will have a conference again. Our goal, and it's certainly looking like this is much more possible or probable, our spring 2022 conference will be held down in San Diego. So dates and more details will go out as we finalize a couple last items on that. But this is to make up for the fact that we did have a virtual conference this year that would have been in San Diego had we been in person. So we're looking to have a good time there. As always, our conference for the association is butted up against the All Financial Aid Directors Training offered by the State System Office, the California Community Colleges Chancellor's Office. And so, as such, it really becomes a full week event. Usually Monday kicks off the All Directors Training, goes through half day Tuesday. Our conference picks up at that point. We go from Tuesday afternoon through all of day Wednesday and through Thursday morning. So I think we'll probably be sticking with that kind of schedule. Now, the good thing is, being that it will be in San Diego, and it's I don't have the exact dates in the top of my mind, but I think it's late March or early April or such. It'll be around the spring break time again. So we're are hoping for great weather. People might want to come in early on the weekend. We do see that sometimes, and that might not be a bad idea. And hopefully come down and enjoy themselves at the conference. Now, again, on the overall overarching topic of CISFA for the coming year, and even in these last few waning months of my presidency, we are still looking at what kind of training opportunities we can have for financial aid professionals. We will be looking at potentially stuff either in the summer or fall to complement our conference and complement what other associations are doing. So keep an eye out for that. We want to make sure that, you know, it's relevant to the work that everyone does in the financial aid offices at the community colleges here in California. So we don't want to overlap too much with other organizations. If anything, we'll try to partner with them, including CASFA and WASFA. our National Association, the Department of Ed, and on a state level, California Student Aid Commission. So be aware of those type of things coming up. Talking about the California Student Aid Commission, probably one of the best opportunities either to present or if you're relatively new to your profession in financial aid, is the annual statewide financial aid workshops that are in a sense co-presented by the Student Aid Commission, CASFA, and CSFA. In the old days, we used to call these the high school counselor workshops. But because it was reaching out to a broader base beyond high school counselors, including people from nonprofit agencies, juvenile justice, foster youth, and other organizations, the Student Aid Commission, who kind of oversees this project, change the name of the project to the Annual Statewide Financial Aid Workshops. The timing is still about the same. It happens usually starting in August. We run multiple workshops. Now, last year we did them all virtually, so you could just pick a date and time that worked for you on our calendar and attend. This coming year, as things are, again, opening up pretty quickly out here in California, we may look at again, having actual workshops at sites. And if so, I don't know if we're going to do quite as many as we've done a couple years ago where we did 40 workshops. I forgot. It was some outrageously high number to cover the whole state. We may still have, hopefully, some in-person ones for you to attend. But I also put it out there for you, if you are a financial aid professional, to present at these. Now, the good thing is the PowerPoints, or the presentation, I should say, to be not branded, is already prepared for you. Colleagues of ours working in CASFA, and this last year happened to be two fantastic people from the financial aid world at the community colleges, Luann Canestro, who's worked with CSFA for many years, but also has been chair of the High School Relations Committee for CASFA, and Jennifer Polito, from Pierce College, another colleague in financial aid, co-chair the CASFA committee that works with the Student Aid Commission for these annual statewide financial aid workshops. So as such, part of their goal is always to revamp and revise the PowerPoint or the presentation used by professionals like you and me, and I've done many of these, to talk to high school counselors and other related groups about the basics of the FAFSA and updates from the federal government as far as related to financial aid. Because the rest of that statewide financial aid workshop is handled by the Student Aid Commission and focuses primarily on the state aid programs. But CASFA and CSFA, because we have so many volunteers from CSFA that work on this group, handle the presentation portion that focuses on the federal aid form and federal aid overall. So it's a great opportunity to present good material and hear from high school counselors and other organizations as far as the types of questions they have regarding financial aid. We may be the professionals in our field, but think about it. Our high school counselors are out there and they are working with hundreds, sometimes thousands of students at their school. And these students, when they hit their senior year, at least, hopefully, are asking questions or starting the financial aid process for the first time. So they hear questions that we may not hear. They have concerns that we may not have thought about. And also, financial aid generally is not their first line of work. They're counseling students. They're helping with admissions applications to colleges, transcripts, getting them academically prepared and set up, and all the other requirements these days to apply to college. So financial aid is just a small part of that. How can we best present information to them to help them through the process and help them and their students through the processes? So I put that out there. Now, also with CSFA for this year and beyond and always, you can, of course, run for an executive board office, or you can join a committee. Now, we've narrowed them down this last year a little bit. I did some reorganization, combining committees that tended to be a little less active with some that were very active. And also to just give it a case that we didn't over-committee-ize ourselves. I know that's not a word, but it's close enough. But you can join one. We have everything from a membership-driven one called our Sunshine Committee, ones that are a little more specific, like our web oversight and communications. Those are very key components to the whole overall operation of the association. We have state issues, federal issues, nominations and such. We've got a variety of committees, and if you have an interest, we want you to get involved. Is there something that you think you want to do with your fellow financial aid folks? Please get a hold of us. Our email for the show is at the end of this podcast. I'll give it to you then. Lastly, just as far as CISFA for, you know, and this goes backwards and forwards into the future, is advocacy. It's one of the key components of what we do, and particularly on the state level, for a variety of things. We advocate for our students, of course. So we want to make certain that whether it's state assembly members, state senators, people in the state system office, California Student Aid Commission, or other related agencies of the state government are aware of student needs and how we can better the financial aid process, how we can better and improve processes and forms, and of course, provide more funding overall for financial aid programs. Along with that, part of our advocacy, especially in the last few years here from this CISFA Association I'm president of, is for funding for our offices. We have a very interesting setup here in the state in the sense that some of the operational funding for financial aid offices at the community colleges comes straight from the state system office. It's got a weird acronym called BFAP-SFAA. BFAP as in Board Financial Aid Programs, because there's a board that oversees the state system. SFAA is, I believe, Student Financial Aid Administration, if I've got all those words right. But basically what it did about 20 years ago, as the community college years were rolling from being $0 to a 10, it was free tuition, and then suddenly it was $7 per unit, which isn't a lot, but again, it could still be a hurdle for students. The state created this BFAP, SFAA stuff so that colleges would have money to do outreach to students about a new fee waiver program. And on top of that, fund some of the operations of financial aid office, primarily targeted out at the outreach angle. Now, the problem with this is, and this is why I talk advocacy, and then we'll move on real quick. The funding for that outreach and such, this BFAP funding, as we say in the shorthand, has not really changed much at all. In fact, it's gone down a little bit because of the way it's calculated. It's calculated based upon how many of those fee waivers we do every year. Now, when enrollment was going up, the number of students getting fee waivers would go up. As the price of tuition went up a few times during those years, it hasn't gone up much or anything really recently, the numbers would go up. But as enrollment has gone down, especially during the pandemic, the funding available has gone down, and there's never been a cost of living built into this or consideration for the fact that salaries go up, costs of benefits go up, and other costs go up too as far as what we were using the money for in our offices. So certainly I'm just going to put it out there, the last word here before we move on to our next cup. It is one of those things that advocacy-wise is top of the, you know, the totem pole here for us of items that we want to work on for the association. Now, before we move on into some other things, why don't we take a little musical break, and then we'll come back for a shortened second cup. We'll be right back. And just like that, we're going to have a second cup here on the What's Brewing Cease show. Do a little refill. I needed a little of that. It is still early in the day. And without Dana, I got to carry the whole show. Hopefully she's listening so she knows what she's doing to me here. But I wanted to cover a couple other topics today on this more free-for-all Friday about training and education. And they are very different as far as what's offered and the true meaning of both. But I want to let you know there's so many opportunities first for training for financial aid professionals. Starting at the top of my list, I'm going to say CISFA because it hits home the closest. It is for California Community College Financial Aid Administrators. So we, of course, do our annual conference. And as I said, we had it virtually this year. We plan to be in person next year. It's great training whether you are new to the profession, continuing, or an expert. We have a variety of topics. We don't quite tier them out all the time as far as this is a beginner track or a middle-of-the-road track or a highly experienced track. But certainly some of the things we try to do is make sure that we've got a good balance of presentations available for people that cover the whole gamut. Next, CASFA, the California Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators. This covers financial aid administrators at community colleges, public and private universities, for-profit schools, and, of course, graduate institutes or graduate schools, because many times law schools, medical schools, and such have separate financial aid offices and have very specific needs for training and such. But CASFA is another great opportunity. They have partnered a lot with WASFA and NASFA, our Western Association and our National Association, on training opportunities. Talking about WASFA, which is the Western Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators, they offer a variety of training too. And again, the good thing is they cover a regional basis, so you get to see, and I've gone to one of their conferences, a different perspective on things. It's not just about California. Let alone when you go to a CISFA event, it's not just about California community colleges. Now, they have an annual conference. Theirs is coming up April 26th through the 30th. This year will be virtual again. My assumption is next year, if all things keep rolling through, it'll be in person. And the fun part about WASFA is it covers Alaska and Hawaii. So there is opportunity some years to go to one or the other for a conference. So keep that in mind. When I went, it was, I believe, in Scottsdale, Arizona. So right, 6-7 hour drive away from here. On top of that, WASFA offers the Sister Dale Brown Summer Institute. That is coming back again. That'll be June 7th through the 11th this year. And then lastly, they have the Jerry R. Sims Management and Leadership Institute. Now, there's no date set yet, but usually this is held in late fall. So be on the lookout for that. This is all from WASFA. Now, on the national front, we have NASFA, the National Association of Student Financial Aid Administrators. They offer, of course, their Certified Financial Aid Administrator Program. This is something our incoming president, Anna Faye, has done and has a little credential and such to do that. They also offer other NASFA credentials, you know, badges and such. Webinars, self-study guides. There's a leadership symposium done in February, March area. And, of course, an annual conference. Now, they had planned to be in person and virtual, both. But recently they had sent out notification indicating that it looks like this year's conference, even as things are starting to open up again, will probably be only virtual. But their annual conferences are usually 3 to 4 days and just packed with great information. I went to one of their conferences down in San Diego, and it was a fun time. Incredible speakers and presenters. Along with that, we got to go to a baseball game at Petco Park, probably one of the nicest baseball parks out there in the world. It's just a fun time. But even in a virtual world, it's certainly worthwhile going to. Big thing with NASFA, unlike CISFA and CASFA, NASFA has always been a case where your institution must be a member for you to take into account all the benefits of membership, including lower costs on their training programs. Now, federal student aid, as an organization, is part of the U.S. Department of Education, so FSA, when I talk about that, offers a number of training opportunities. They have an annual training conference that's usually late fall, early winter, you know, around November, December. And when it's in person, at least, it can be 5 or 6,000 people at a conference. Now, I don't have all the details for the one that comes up this year. But again, as things are opening up, who knows? Maybe we'll get back to the days of it being in person. Let's hope so. Now, FSA also offers ongoing webinars on a variety of federal aid topics throughout the year. So if you need a refresher on R2T4 or cash management or campus-based aid programs, they're the people to look to. The good thing is all their training offerings, along with their knowledge base center, is now all on the new FSA Partner Connect website. We talked about this in prior shows. If you haven't checked it out, please do. If you have a link to their old website, the IFAP or IFAP website, it will redirect you to the FSA Partner Connect website. Something in order to get to information about your actual institution through a dashboard, you do have to make sure you sign in using your FSA credential. And then if you're the financial aid director, you can offer up access to that information to people in your staff. So guess something, you have to go through a process. I did that, pretty easy to do. Lastly, on a training front, just to keep in mind, CASFA, and again, we'll repost it at CISFA, puts out a monthly calendar of offerings by associated vendors, lending institutions, and other organizations. Take advantage of these. These are generally right now, of course, all webinars. They all tend to be free, but they're on a variety of financial aid specific topics and those that just make you a better working professional and sometimes just a better person, like money management, understanding credit, personal development. All these topics have come up in a variety of offerings put out that you'll see on the CASFA training calendar. And easy to get to, casfa.org/training. Now, the last topic I have here, I think I'm going to save for another day. I wanted to talk about actual education opportunities for financial aid professionals. As far as when I'm talking about are like certificates and degrees and graduate degrees and doctorate degrees, I do think I want to save that. I think I want to bring on a couple of our colleagues throughout the state and talk about what they have done. For example, I think of Linda Williams, director up at Sierra College. Dr. Linda Williams has done one of these programs. We have at least one other past president of the association working on one. We have a number of people on the board working on these and some recent retirees and all. And my former boss from Glendale College has hers from almost, you know, now 20 years ago. So I want to talk about how these programs have changed, what's the value to them, and more. But I want to save that, I think, for another show. Just like the topic I had, baseball, here, I'll just say you the one thing that I wrote down under my topics in my list of things for today under baseball was go out and buy a rule book. I've got an animated one called the Baseball Field Guide. And it's like the animated version of the rule book of baseball. If for no other reason than for those who might have watched an earlier season Dodger game in particular, where one of the Dodgers hit a home run, but at the same time, the runner who was on first base ahead of him got to second base, thought the ball was caught by the outfielder, and then ran back and crossed the paths of the guy who just hit the home run somewhere between first and second base. They were running. And how that was scored. I'm going to leave you with that. Tell you need to buy the rule book to understand baseball rules. And even then, you may not fully understand them. We'll talk more about baseball throughout the season, though. So I'm going to kind of leave off here at this point. Let's move our way into the last segment, or our last sip segment of the show. And just like that, we are back for the last sip segment. So to keep us on time, on a show that I thought would run short and is running closer to normal, I do have a couple I dare you to selections for everyone here. So I'm going to have three really good ones, I think. First, I would dare you to watch an episode or two of a TV show called How It's Made. It's either on Discovery or the Science Channel or something like that. So if you've got Discovery Plus, you might find it, or it might be under Disney Plus. Or if you just have, what's that called? Oh, cable TV, the old world cable TV. You'll find episodes of a show called How It's Made. There's hundreds of these episodes. And the reason I put that out there is it just helps reinforce, especially if you get one that they tell you how things were made. And it's something that's a little more mass produced. You know, sometimes they have things that are more art pieces, like, you know, how they make fancy rattan baskets or something like that, handmade items. But a lot of times they'll tell you how they make loudspeakers or how they made a computer or something more intricate. It just helps us think about, and for me, it's always about how we think sometimes behind these shows that I really do enjoy. Think about the intricacies to so many of the common items that we see on a daily basis. You know, you see a car or you pass by a farm field, a tractor, and you see what it looks like, but to think about how it was actually made. Now, the great thing also on this show is oftentimes they'll explore food. So you'll learn how do they get, the peanut butter inside the Reese's cup or things like that. And you just think about the different processes that things have to go through. I guess incredible. My second I dare you to is I dare you to go out there and buy some physical music as far as an actual compact disc or an LP, a 45, an SACD. If anyone knows what that is, awesome. Those are, a higher quality audio CD, but you need a special SACD player. I do this because I am trying to hold myself back to when the crowds will die down, but I'm waiting for my first return trip to Amoeba Music here in Hollywood since it reopened just a week ago. So I can't wait for that day. And again, they're not too far from where I live to return to the store. First of all, trade in a bunch of stuff I'm done listening to, some CDs, some DVDs, some Blu-rays, all that stuff that I've got way too many of still, and take that credit and go buy some new stuff. I know I've got streaming music. I know I've got other opportunities and choices out there, but go out and buy something in the physical form, especially for so many friends that are now getting back into LPs. Last I dare you to segment on today, or last selection for today, go out and buy a book, hardcover book possibly, so that it stands up nice and neat and you can stack books on top of it, as I've done in my background here that you can't see. Whether this is related to financial aid, higher education, possibly a hobby of yours or something else, go out and buy an actual book from a real bookstore if you can. You know, if you have a local book reseller, please visit them, patronize them. I would suggest if you need for your house and you want a big book that's colorful, get a coffee table book. If you haven't heard that term before, in short, it's a book you'd put on a coffee table. If you don't know what a coffee table is, generally it's that table that's in the middle of your living room. If you don't have a formal living room, it would now be whatever table or gigantic ottoman that some people have that sits in their family room. And it generally tended to be a coffee book. A coffee table book would be a book that's pretty big format with mostly visual stuff, you know, a book about artwork. Or in my case, a lot of architecture. But go out and get yourself a hardcover book, whatever it is, on whatever topic. Support publishing in any way that we can. Well, as I said, I thought I was going to have a short show. Instead, we had a pretty full episode today. And we'll have more next week when Dana returns. So I want to thank you all for joining me today on What's Brewing CISFA. If you have something to say or you have topics you want us to discuss, email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com. You can find this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts on Google Podcasts, your Apple Podcasts app, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, and the TuneIn app on your Amazon Echo by using Alexa. What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of me and Dana Yarbrough. This has been episode number 80, recorded in the morning of Friday, April 9th, 2021. Have a great day, everybody. And of course, have a great weekend.